Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also the four exciting, challenging players of the game who are going to participate this week. We welcome back three players who played it many, many times before, the highly individual Clement Freud, the much-travelled Derek Nimmo, and the charmingly amusing Peter Jones. And we also welcome someone who's only played it a few times before, and that is the delightfully witty Kit Hesketh Harvey. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Linda Copley, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up and also work the stopwatch. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the riding stables in the wonderful grounds of Blenheim Palace, and we are the guests of His Grace the Duke of Marlborough, and we have a highly animated Oxfordshire audience in front of us who are going to give vent with their emotions and feelings as we set the ball rolling on Just a Minute with Derek Nomo starting. My favourite view. Tell us about it in this game, starting now.
Yes, it ought to be here, really, because coming round the curve that leads up to this great palace we're seeing now, I looked across the Cape Bildebrand Lake and I thought, there can be hardly any more beautiful place in the world. To think of all those Irish navvies digging it out and building hills, it's something we forget about now, and one just admires this, perhaps one's almost favourite view. But for me, my absolute favourite view, I think, is as you come out of the Daniele Hotel in Venice and you turn right along the Mole and you sit down, and on your left is San Giorgio Maggiore, and the salute is just over to one side, and behind the Doge's Palace, and perhaps with a cup of coffee in your hand and Lord MacAlpine passing past, you see this great sight of the Grand Canal opening up to receive you as you trundle down in your gondola. My most favourite view. But I have been to other places, I suppose, in my time, which is
Peter Jones, a challenge.
He can't be in the gondola and drinking a cup of coffee.
But you keep the same view, you say.
I think he did establish, Peter, that he was there, and that's one of the things he did. He would have had a cup of coffee, he'd have admired the view, he'd have gone in a gondola. The number of things he did while admiring the different views. And I don't think he actually divvied in the technical sense of the word. So it's an incorrect challenge. An incorrect challenge gains Derek Nimmer a point. He keeps the subject. 6 seconds are available. My favourite view, Derek, starting
and
now.
And in front of me is the Cipriani, which belongs to
Kit Hesketh Harvey.
It's not. It's the riding stables at Blenheim.
Yes, he didn't establish that he was back in Venice, so I will give it to you, Kit. So a correct challenge, and point for you for a correct challenge. And 3 seconds to go on my favourite view, starting now.
And one which I'm very happy to air on this programme is an end to party politics.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Kit Hesketh Harvey. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, the difference a day made. Go on that subject, if you can, for 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, that's not very long. Well, I remember when I first got a job as an actor, and it was in a provincial town or city called Wolverhampton, which was a place my parents sometimes took us for our summer holidays. We had relatives there, so it was a pretty cheap business. But I got this engagement in the local repertory company on a Monday morning, and they said, you can rehearse in the afternoon, there are only 4 lines to speak, and then we do the first performance at 6:30. And I turned up and I strode around the town feeling very confident and thought I was at last embarked on this wonderful career. And then the next day I was walking about out of a job because I got the sack after the number one.
Well, Well, this is a most unusual edition of Just a Minute, because Derek Nimmer got the subject when he started and nearly went for 60 seconds. He went for 57. And on the second round, Peter Jones has gone for the full 60 seconds, and that hasn't happened for a very long time. So Peter gets a point for speaking when the whistle went and a bonus point for not being interrupted. So well done. And after all his efforts, he's only now in the lead with 2 points alongside Kit Hesketh Harvey. Kit, your turn to begin. Now, here's our enchanting subject. Googly. Yes, how will you take that? Tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now.
Well, in giving me this subject, you have actually bowled me a metaphorical googly. I know nothing of the rules of cricket. I find them esoteric and obscure, and the costumes preposterous. But I have seen Nicholas Parsons bowling, and as he does so, he waves his eyes around quite independently in a very seductive sort of way, like a goldfish giving you the come on. Those are googly eyes, and the abs...
A repetition of eyes.
Yes, my eyes going round like a goldfish. Clement Royd had a correct challenge, and there are 36 seconds left for googly, starting now.
I was watching a game of cricket on the village green in Walberswick when a Frenchman came up and said, "Excusez moi, monsieur, qu'est-ce que c'est un googly?" And I explained that it was an off-break bowled with a leg-break action. And hugely confusing, firstly...
There ain't no more chance.
Traditional break.
Oh, yes. What a pity.
Has it not happened?
Derek, you are correct. You have 18 seconds to take over googly, starting now.
I was never able to conceal an off-break to the right hand, and it has always been my downfall, because I've never bowled googlies. I always wish that I could. It's been a tremendous sadness tonight. Often when I go to bed at night, just before I say my prayers, I say, what a shame, I could never bowl.
Derek Nimmer. You were speaking as the whistle went. You gained that extra point for doing so, and you have moved into the lead. Clement Royd, your turn to begin the subject. Disguises, starting now.
A very good example of a disguise is to bowl an off-break, giving the ball the sort of tweak which normally causes it to turn towards leg. And that is called a googly. A German once said to me, was ist ein Googly?
Das war ein Hesitation, wasn't it?
Was an Hesitation, it was. Kit, 44 seconds, disguises, starting now.
You see, disguise in love with you, went the old song in the 60s. But one of my favorite examples of a great disguise was when Virginia Woolf and all her friends went down to review the fleet off Southampton, dressed as Maharajas and strange Eastern potentates, and had the entire fleet. Oh, no!
Yeah.
No!
And Clement got in first. Yes, you've gone to a good story, but you've got to find different words. Disguises is back with you, Clement. 26 seconds starting now.
Hesitation.
I agreed, yes, it was. Not often he's lost for words, but perhaps he was searching for another nationality to say, was ist ein googly? But, disguises. With you, 26 seconds, starting now.
When I was trying to run away from boarding school, I adopted a disguise which was really quite complicated and involved putting wads of cotton wool in my cheeks and darkening my eyebrows, acquiring a pair of spectacles, which I didn't normally wear, and padding my stomach so that I appeared much fatter than I normally was. And I was walking along the canal bank...
Peter Jones' disguise kept him going to the whistle went. Gained that extra point for doing so, and he's moved back into the lead, one ahead of Derek Nimmo. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. Oh, what an apt subject, singing this beautiful Blenheim Palace. But here the subject is Stately Pile. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, we must be grateful it's not in the plural. A lot of stately piles, meaning buildings, were erected during the latter part of the last century. They weren't really stately, but people who put them up and paid for them were manufacturers who'd made a lot of money, cheating the cotton pickers and all the other people in the north, and they called them stately.
delicate chocolates.
I can't imagine there are any cotton pickers in the north.
Cotton pickers? No, weavers, as you said.
Yes, weavers, but you said pickers.
I did.
Want you to interrupt you, but yes. Derek had a correct challenge. 25 seconds. Stately pile, Derek, starting now.
But being here in Blenheim Palace, the stately pile of the Duke of Marlborough, I think they made the money out of cigarettes or something. And they've done quite so well and managed to get Sir John Vanbrugh to come here and design it for them. He, who had just before, 2 years before, had actually... Oh.
Repetition. Correct challenge, Clement. You have 9 seconds. Stately pile starting now.
Blenheim Palace is by all...
Yes.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a hesitation. You've got a stately pile now. 5 seconds starting now.
Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, Nicholas Parsons, Sir Clement Freud, see Monumentum Requiri Circumspicier.
So Kit Hesse-Garvey was speaking as a whistle and gained an extra point for doing so, and you will be delighted to hear that though he's not played the game as much as the other three, he has moved into the lead ahead of those three. Kit Hesse-Garvey, your turn to begin, and the subject is inspiration. You have 60 seconds as usual, if you can go that length. Start now.
When I seek inspiration, I need look no further than Nicholas Parsons. Some look at the marble brow of the...
Clement Freud chant.
Repetition of look.
Yes, I'm sorry.
What a pity. Yeah. I was enjoying that. I was preening myself already for the next thing. 54 seconds for you on inspiration, Clement, starting now.
This man telephoned the hospital, asked for maternity, and said, "My wife is having contractions every 2 minutes." And the nurse who answered requested the information, "Is this her first child?" And he said, "No, you bloody stupid woman, it's her husband."
Clement, you've just pressed your buzzer. Have you challenged yourself?
I didn't want to be challenged for hesitation.
So you challenged yourself for hesitation?
Yes.
Well listened. There are 28 seconds starting now.
28 seconds is really a very long time to talk about inspiration. It is spelt I-N-S-P. There's an R and a T later on, but I wouldn't like to mention those a second time because it...
Kit has his army.
The repetition of time, wasn't there?
Yes. Well done. Well, listen, Kit. Yes, you've got in there. 13 seconds. Inspiration starting now.
I tend to go for displacement activity when I'm seeking inspiration. I dino-rod the hamster, or I re-hang the Jehovah's Witnesses in a rather prettier pattern on the wall, because it is desperate unless you have Nicholas.
So once again, Kit Hesketh-Arvey was speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point for doing so. He's just ahead of Clement Freud, and Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones are following in that order. Clement, your turn to begin. Love your subject. Parsley. Just a minute, starting now.
I'm quite fond of parsley sauce, in which you take parsley, chop it, amalgamate it with cream and butter and maybe salt, pepper and wine. But what is iniquitous, I have always believed, is the caterer's use of parsley as a source of hiding blemishes. You have a potato with a wart in it, and parsley is scattered over it so that the customer doesn't see. I believe parsley should become a banned substance, just like so many others. People might be afforded
Derek,
a small
challenge. I think there was a hesitation. Yes, Derek, you've got a point, of course. And 25 seconds on parsley starting.
Curious enough, I bought some parsley in the garden centre in Kent this very day.
Clement Freud challenge.
What's curious about that?
It's killing some dinner.
I think it's very curious that here at Blenheim Palace he should happen to mention the fact that while he was in Kent this afternoon he bought some parsley. It is very, very curious.
Even though it's the subject on the card.
Even though it's the subject on the card. I mean, there's no reason. It's not curious he should be buying parsley, but curious that this subject should come up, and therefore, while he was in Kent, he had to buy some parsley. And that's the way I interpret that particular way he went.
He probably had some potatoes with a lot of warts on them.
Or perhaps, like me, he has a thing about parsley. I love eating it, just natural. I take it in the garden and I stuff it in my mouth. It's wonderful. It flavours anything. Helps to keep all kinds of infections away, too. Derek Nimmo. Look at this audience. They're actually thunderstruck. They want to know what the infection is. I can't go anymore because it's not... I don't play the game. I just have to try and adjudicate incorrect challenge. 21 seconds on parsley, starting now. But this could hardly challenge.
Hesitation?
Yes, there was, but he didn't even start.
You said he got it.
No.
You said a wrong challenge.
Wrong challenge, yes, but you were talking. No, you were talking.
It wasn't
you
me.
Were talking.
Yeah, Clement was talking about it.
No, you happened to mention that a curious thing you do lots and I'm sorry, Derek, I know you're nearly as old as me, but you are going. I'm sorry. I mean, it's like... So Kit Hesketh-Harvey, you did... I'm afraid, yes, Kit, well, he did challenge. If he can't remember that he was talking a few moments ago, what life must be like at home for your wife when you can't remember... 10 seconds later, what you said, my goodness me. So 19 seconds, put Kit on parsley, starting now.
I'm a very special lion called Parsley, he said on the herbs. A lovely little program I used to watch as a child, long before even Derek Nimmo was born. We're terribly concerned that Derek Nimmo is still alive. Oh, no! No! No!
Derek, yes, you were listening.
Well, he took my name in vain twice.
But at least you got in with the challenge. Yes. So 8 seconds for you on parsley, Derek, starting now.
I very much like tabbouleh, for which I need some parsley and cracked wheat, and also garlic and oil, and mix it all together. And I find it one of the most delicious.
So... Derek Nimmo speaking as the whistle, we gain that extra point. He's moved forward. He's ahead of Clement Freud and Peter Jones, but he's still 2 points behind our leader, who is Kit Hesketh-Harvey. Derek, it is your turn to begin. Oxfordshire. Tell us something about that delightful county in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Well, we are in Oxfordshire at this very moment, and how happy I am to be here in front of His Grace and taking place in this awful stable joint that we're stuck in, rather, in the long gallery where we might... Last time I came, I was in a much better place inside. But now we're being...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of place.
There was another place, yes, you were mentioned place twice. So that is repetition, 45 seconds with you, Clement, on Oxfordshire, starting now.
Blenheim Palace, as Derek Nimmo has so rightly said, is situated in Oxfordshire. And the Duke of...
I'm sorry, that was unkind. I thought there was hesitation, but there wasn't.
What happens, I'm afraid, Kit, I mean, you're very keen and you're in the lead, and I recognise all that, but no, it was very close, but what we call teetering, but not there. So, Clement, you have the benefit of the doubt. You have 37 seconds to continue on Oxfordshire, starting now.
I was privileged to know his current Grace's father when I worked at the Dorchester. And I remember very well on a television program, somebody said, "What does the Duke do?" And the child said, "Appears on Jukebox Jury." Which may...
are we a long way from Oxfordshire?
His story, he has deviated within the terms of just a minute. Yes, you're quite right, Kit.
But it was very funny.
I know. That's why you very generously waited to finish the story, and then you challenged, and by then I'd forgotten what your challenge was about. So 20 seconds available, Oxfordshire, starting now.
This park, designed by Capability Brown, was done by a Northumbrian, for that's from where he hailed. He changed it from Oxfordshire into Northumberland as quickly as he could.
Derek,
repetition of Northumberland.
Yes. Right, Derek, you listen well. 10 seconds, Oxfordshire, starting now.
Great Milton has a wonderful restaurant, the Manoir of Cat Saison, and happily that is in Oxfordshire, and I go there all the time with tremendous delight, but a very light pocket, because it's huge.
So, Derek Nimmo, you have moved forward. You're one behind our leader, Kit Hesketh-Harvey. Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject, sensible shoes. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
Well, sensible shoes should be foot-shaped. Quite a lot aren't, and they're uncomfortable to wear. They should also have special soles that don't pick up chewing gum, which people increasingly seem to leave on the pavements in the area where I live. Though how they find space with all the dog shit that's in the street, I don't know. But that's what happened. The laces should be elasticated so that they are not too tight, and it makes the upper part of the foot sore and unpleasant. Well,
Peter, we all enjoyed your sensible shoes, and they show their appreciation. Kit, 12 seconds, sensible shoes, starting now.
They're normally Oxford brogues, are they not, as Alistair Sim used to wear, but they wouldn't be at all sensible shoes to wear on a beach, if one were hiking in a high mountain, possibly. But
Clement Freud challenge.
On a beach, on a high mountain.
Yes. I've gone on to another subject.
No,
on a
no
beach,
he was saying
stop.
That sensible
if one
shoes were, he had sensible
if one
no, to my mind, he established quite well. He was wearing his sensible shoes. It wouldn't be ideal for this beach or the high mountain.
Or a high mountain.
Yes, you meant...
That was the
but
missing
if you could, yes,
that was,
but
yes.
You know, Clement, because you are one of the cleverest people in this game of giving lists of things and not putting or in each time. He didn't put his or in.
I didn't put my or in.
I know. And we don't want too many ors on this show, I recognise that. So, but that was not a correct challenge, and he was not deviating. 4 seconds are available still with sensible shoes for you, Kit, starting now.
One wouldn't want to look like Margaret Rutherford at a tea dance. You'd need some shiny patent shoes for that.
Right, so Kit again, speaking as always, another point in the round, has increased his lead at the end of the round, and strangely enough, it's his turn to begin. The subject, Kit, two of a kind. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Alike as two peas in a pod, they say, and sometimes when I look at Nicholas Parsons, I feel that on some strange level we are two of a kind. The same elegant brow, the same dimpled little bottom.
Clement Freud challenge.
Same.
Oh, yes, the same.
Oh, I thought you were having for deviation. 44 seconds, Clement. Two of a kind, starting now.
Looking for two of a kind, feet come closely forward. The Ink Spots, of whom I was extremely fond, had a song called I Hate You Cause You're F-E repeated T, a too big. Down in Harlem at a table for two, there was four of us. Me, your big, and you, where the lyric is made.
Peter Jones challenge.
Ink Spots never sang that. It was Fat. It was Fats Waller.
No. Wrong.
The Ink Spots did sing it. So, what is your challenge? So, it's just
deviation.
Well, it was deviation from English, the way it was deviation from the song.
Yes,
definitely, the song. That was completely devious, because not all those pauses when I heard the Ink Spots do it, and Pat's Ball. So, two of a kind with you, Peter. 20 seconds available starting now.
Elsie and Doris Waters were a typical example of two of a kind. And thinking of other West, music halls.
There was a hesitation, I must say, Peter. Two of a kind with you, Derek. 12 seconds starting.
Now, if you're buying some shoes, it's frightfully important to have two of a kind. One left and the other right, because it can be terribly uncomfortable if they don't match. I always have mine made by Cao Hu in Hong Kong. And he produces it.
Right, so Derek Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's creeping up on our leader, Kit Hesketh-Harvey. There's 2 points difference, and a few points separate them from Clement Freud and Peter Jones. And I mentioned that because we're moving into the final round. And it is still a very even contest for those who are interested in the points. Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the experiment. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Norman Douglas, who went to Uppingham, as did Stephen Fry, wrote a very interesting treatise on aphrodisiacs. Oysters, we all know, are such. In fact, I once ate a dozen, which were so powerful that if I didn't swallow them quickly, I got a stiff neck.
Oh, that is the frustration of this game, if you want to get a good laugh with a good story. And Clement's very generous in the way he does that. But Derek got in with hesitation before that, because I thought he actually paused at the thought of those dozen oysters he'd taken. So, Derek, we have to be fair within the game. 42 seconds with you, the experiment starting now.
I think it's been a very successful experiment, bringing us all here today in this old stable to play this little game which has bored the world for 32 years. A very good experiment, and I hope it will be repeated, Nicholas, because you've got lots of other chums belonging to other clubs. I said other twice. So it's something that buzzed me, I think.
I didn't know that he'd repeat until he told me, but I
know.
Did, so I sort of...
It's a bit foolish if you keep going with style and panache. Sometimes they don't notice it. 23 seconds, the experiment kit. With you, starting now.
I like the experiments that turn up in jokes. To wit, how many feminists does it take to change a light bulb? 5, 1 to do so, and 4 to celebrate the passive role of the socket.
Oh, Well, that was the first time one's tell a joke on Just a Minute, and the laughter was so continuous that it kept him going for 6 or 7 seconds after he'd finished. And it also kept him going to the whistle end, which he gets an extra point for, and he has leapt forward. And you brought this particular edition and this particular round to a finish with a tremendous style and panache. Kiss, has this hobby. Congratulations, because I don't... For those of you interested in the score, Peter Jones and Clement Freud gained a number of points, but a little way behind Derek Nimmo, who was a full 3 points behind Kit Heskefave, our winner this week. Again, congratulations, and it only remains for me to say now thank you very much to our four delightful and talented players of this game, Kit Heskefave, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud. I'm also thank Linda Cobley, who's been keeping the score for me. She's blown her whistle, she's kept the stopwatch moving. Let me thank our producer, Chris Neal, who's out in some van somewhere recording the whole show, and he keeps us in order, makes sure it all runs smoothly. We must, of course, thank Ian Messiter, because he thought of this game and has kept us in work for 32 years. Dear Ian, we think of you constantly. And also, we must thank the Duke of Marlborough allowing us to come into the delightful stables here at Blenheim Palace and record this show and be present at this delightful, stately home and look out on the wonderful views displayed all over Oxfordshire. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you'll be with us next time we take to the air and we play. Just a Minute! Till then, from all this, bye-bye! (Laughter)